I'd like to read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 33. Take heed, watch and pray. You do not know where the time is. It is of a man gone out of the country, having left his house, and given to his bond the authority, and to each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper that he should watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house comes, evening or midnight, or cockcrow, or morning, as coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. But what I say to you, I say to all, watch. I was led to this scripture during the occasions yesterday at Hampton, when our brother referred to the phases of the church as spoken of in Revelation. And I think here we get an indication of those phases of the church. First of all, the Lord says to watch and pray. The Lord told the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane to watch and pray. And I think it's later in this Gospel where he says it. Chapter 14, verse 38. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, as we know, the disciples were found lacking in that. Not able to watch for a few hours with the Lord. But that is what really we all need to be doing, watching and praying. The watching out is for the Lord's coming. And that has marked every phase of the church through the history of the last 2,000 years. The coming of the Lord was the next event. There's no prophecy in Scripture that's to take place before it. So here we have, it is as a man gone out of country and left the bondman to his bondman the authority, to each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper that he should watch. That's our responsibility, to be watching for the Lord. So we think of these various phases of the church's history, which I think we could apply here. Evening. Well, Christianity was set up by the Lord Jesus, and when he went on high, he commissioned the disciples to preach, go and make disciples of all nations. And there was a glorious and wonderful beginning to the testimony recorded in the Acts. And 3,000 were converted in one day through the preaching of the apostles. Wonderful time it was, all set up in beautiful, pristine glory and beauty, the church. As we know, sadly, things came in. And even in the apostles' time, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, even those who were, their days were prolonged for some time, we know that things came in and they had to warn against certain wrong doctrines that were coming in. And we can see all those written in various epistles, John's epistles and Peter's especially. But here, that time also, during that time when the, shall we say, the light was growing dimmer, the evening was coming on as the apostles died, but then those who were carrying on the work, they'd known what the apostles said, many, many of the early fathers who kept things as the apostles had ordered. And of course, during that time, the ensuing centuries, the canon of Scripture was agreed under God's hand, under God's control, because the word that we've got, the Bible that we've got, is the complete word of God. And I don't think we need to go out of the Bible for anything. It's got the answer to every need of man, every phase of man. There's nothing that's come in that's taken God by surprise. We can find a scripture that applies to every situation. So that was done by God. That was ordered by God. But the scriptures should be preserved. He's had his eye on them all through the centuries. There was a time back in Jeremiah's time when they sought to destroy the scriptures. They were burnt. One of the last kings, I think it was Jehoiakim, he destroyed the scriptures, or destroyed what Jeremiah wrote. But Jeremiah had to write it again. And all through, you know many, many instances of where the scriptures were destroyed. Think of the, coming on to that later, in the later time when the Bible was translated into the language, but the men have tried to get rid of the scriptures, the word of God. but God has preserved it to us. And then we think of the midnight, the time of the darkest time of the night. Phil was speaking about it yesterday. And think of the history of the church during that time. We know a little about it, but Bernard of Clairvaux's hymn was a shining light as to what was going on in the hearts of many believers, I believe, during that time. And of course, the scripture says, what have we that we have not received? Everything is passed down from generation to generation under God's control and hand. But what we can see is that in all these phases, shall we say, of the church history, there has always been the need to watch. Watch for the coming of the Lord. That's the next event. That's why we preach the gospel, that we may believe and come to repentance, come by repentance into the blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. Because that is the only way to come into the blessing. There is nothing outside of what God has provided. There is no other way. There is no other faith that gives us the assurance that all has been done. It's been said that there's no other religion that can tell you that everything has been done. It's all, we hope this and we hope that and we think this and we think that. With Christianity, everything is absolutely certain. We know that the work is done, the work is complete. When we come to the Lord Jesus in repentance, we know that our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And sad thing that we have to say, but we all, scripture says, we all often offend. And so we know that everything is sure, and that we never need to have a doubt or fear as to our salvation. And Christianity is the only belief that gives you that certainty. So we think of that time, the terrible dark ages. Dark ages, according to the history of man, little is known. Some of them has to be made up. There were writings, but not much. And then we come to the cockcrow. Think of the wonderful time of the Reformation, when light as to justification by faith was brought out. When what had held men up to the previous over 1,000 years had been the fact of joining or belonging to a church. And that was all that you needed to be assured of. If you're outside of the church, you weren't a Christian, basically. It was a very solemn and sad thing to be excommunicated from the church. So that time, the cock crow was an awakening as to the real means of salvation. Men have been held in bondage all those years, all those centuries. But God came in, raised up men who were able to bring out the glorious truth. Men convicted in their souls that what the Word of God said was true. The Word of God had been largely hidden during those centuries of the dark times. It largely hidden, only known by those who could read. They hadn't, I believe, been translated into the common language. So it was only those with education. And so if you go into churches, you see pictures on the walls showing the stories, various stories of the Bible that men couldn't read and write in those days. We have much to be thankful for in our time. We can read and write and understand and absorb, take in God's word. But that was largely hidden and unobtainable and unavailable to men during those dark ages. So what a time it was when God raised up men who brought the light of God to life. Well, then, of course, we have the much sad conflict and division through the years. There has been wars and disputes between men, but the Word of God is what should govern us. The Word of God is our guide, not whether I belong to this, as Paul says in the beginning of Corinthians, I of Paul, I of Apollos, I am Cephas. No, we just go by the Word of God. Seek to go by the Word of God. So that was a wonderful time when the cock crew, shall we say, and there was an awakening in men's heart. Where there had been indifference, an assumption that everything was all right if they did toe a certain line. And then we get the morning, and I believe that's the time when we are. Morning is the time when the sun arises, and that's what we're waiting for, the Lord Jesus coming. Now, the reason for my speaking in this way is to show that all through the ages there has been an expectation of the Lord's coming. Peter says in the Acts that he may send Jesus Christ, who was foreordained, repent therefore and be converted, the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and he may send Jesus Christ, who was foreordained for you. Peter was expecting the Lord to come back. Paul says, we the living who remain till the coming of the Lord. Quite clear that Paul thought that he would be alive when the Lord Jesus returned. The light of the length of this dispensation didn't seem to be given to those early apostles and disciples. The scripture, of course, speaks of it, but the whole point is, and this is the point of this little parable, is to be watching. Whatever phase of the testimony, whatever time in the church is history, there's always been the need to watch. Not only watch, as the Lord says, watch that you enter not into temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not only that type of watching, but watching for the Lord Jesus to come. So, we know what the Lord Jesus had to go through to accomplish his glorious redemption, his salvation. There was no other one that could do it. We cannot atone or rectify one sin. When you think of Adam in the garden there, in innocence, and his sin was the sin of disobedience. That is what will define our place in eternity, whether we are with Christ or not. We have to obey. The gospel comes through the obedience of faith. God has provided the sacrifice. God has provided everything. The Lord Jesus Christ has been slain, but you have to put out your hand in faith. You have to be convicted that you need a Saviour. One of the tragedies of the present age is the complacency, indifference to God. There's been a survey, various surveys done, of the number of people that nominally call themselves Christians. There's been talk as to whether this country is a Christian country or not. All that, of course, is, in a sense, immaterial, because we are just to walk a path here in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, to reflect him, seek to reflect him in our walk and ways. We can only do that not by joining a church, any particular church, or we were speaking about this afternoon, doing good works and things of that nature. The gospel is very straightforward and simple. As Peter says, repent and be converted. Turn around. Change the way, the course you're on, and come to the Lord Jesus. Accept that God is right. Adam's sin was the sin of disobedience. And if we disobey the glad tidings, in principle, that is the same. We disobey. So the only way into this is to accept what God says. Accept that God is a righteous God, but he's a God of love. He's not a hard God. Those of us that have known him for some time and say that God is a forbearing God, a loving God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. That's the God we know. That's the God we preach. And the glorious man who came here to show what God was the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be resistant to God's word. If you disobey, for the disobedient, there is just one end. It's eternal punishment from God. The lake of fire, which just speaks of it, the lake of fire. I read something many, many years ago when I, in business, was visiting an old people's home, and there was a little piece on one of the tables which spoke about hell, and it spoke about, don't worry about it, there will be plenty of people there and you'll all be enjoying yourself, you'll be able to do what you want. So
not how the Bible presents hell. Hell won't be there. Hell will be eternal remorse. Hell is not prepared for man. Hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Those who've rebelled against God in past time, we don't know when, but they have rebelled against God. And if we rebel and refuse, what can God offer us? If the boat comes and you're sinking, you're floundering around in the water, you need to just put out your hand and accept the help that comes from the boat. Otherwise you'll sink and perish. That's what we all do unless we come to the Lord Jesus, unless we accept him in faith. So the gospel is straightforward and simple. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said to the jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That man had a need. Sirs, what must I do that I may be saved? Trouble is, many don't feel they have a need. May God bring men to the point where they realise that they have a need tonight, so that there may be many who are crying out for mercy and grace, because it's freely available. God is not withholding his hand. God is not a meagre God. He's a God who has got every blessing. Speaks of being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Once we come to the Lord Jesus, everything is true. Everything God has prepared for us is available to us. So may we realise the glory for what God has done and yield to his commands and desires for us, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.